listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern right now. Drive time on the East Coast, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Got a big Tuesday, baby. Football is here. We've got preseason to continue to look back on and forward on. How bad is bad for an NFL quarterback? Does love conquer all? We're going to explore this with Jimmy G. And joined in studio, pro who knows, Steve Fezzik. Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You cannot have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on a Tuesday on Straight Outta Vegas with what we saw on Monday Night Football, preseason or not last night. It was the 49ers with a 24-15 win over the Denver Broncos.
But so, Jonas, let me jump in.
Sure.
I heard, and I didn't look at the box score. I'm going to be completely honest. I heard Jimmy G had a monster bad game. So whatever, like the monster ate Jimmy G, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let me over under guess what is, let's maybe passer rating?
Yeah, we could do passer rating. That's fine.
All right. So was it under 50?
It was under 50.
Under 10?
It was under 10.
Under one?
Believe it or not, it was under one.
Bad.
Yeah, it was real bad. It was real bad.
Now listen, here's the question. How serious is this, right? So I want to go first to the voice of the fan. I mean, this is a guy, he's not big on analytics or math or any real academics, right? You'd say that's true?
Yeah, I don't pay attention to any of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, bunch of mumbo jumbo. But you got your eyes. You know good football. I mean, was Jimmy, obviously it wasn't great, but did it feel like if you had watched, and here's the question, if you had watched a fourth round rookie and that was his first game, would you have came around with it after and said, wow, that guy is not going to make it in the league? Or would you say, hey, not a great game, but nothing to see here?
I would be a little alarmed because he did look rattled and the moment at time looked a little bit too big for him.
So the franchise quarterback, making 27 sticks a year, if I think I got that straight,
yes,
is rattled by the second preseason game?
Yeah, and especially considering he's coming off the knee injury. It's his first game action since the knee surgery and the knee injury that he suffered last season. And he's going against Vic Fangio, one of the better defensive coordinators as the head coach of the Broncos now. He looked all sorts of rattled last night.
You know what's funny is, I don't know, you want to talk about rattled? Our cohort here at Fox, Colin Cowherd. Now listen, he is my mentor in this business. You don't like him. Some people might think, well, maybe Jonas somehow has like editorial control and it causes RJ to say Colin is crazy. It's not just the alliteration. There's all these possibilities.
Right.
But the truth is Jonas has been great, though, with more radio experience, trying to help where he can, but saying you guys, this show is different, and I think the way you know, in general, we're in total agreement with it. He's not dictating anything. We're not dictating to him. So there are no sacred cow herds. And today, with Jimmy G, I actually heard him say that, well, listen, Vic Fangio, blah, blah. It's like, wait a minute. This is the guy that, if I recall, he was like laughing at as the head coach. Like, this guy's not a head coach level guy. The idea that somehow in the second preseason game, he's scheming it up to try to stop, you know, like, where, you know, this is our big game. I don't think I've ever heard a quarterback's play excused because of the other team's coach in a preseason game. Have you? Anybody?
No, not a lot.
Even greater than 0.0?
Well, yeah. I mean, anything's greater than 0.0. I mean, come on.
No, it's not.
Not his rating last night.
Not his rating last night. That's Brad Powers, also an L.A. Jonas. I'm RJ. Now, Fez, our mandate, this is straight out of Vegas, is to bring the Vegas truth. So let's see if this conversation is agreed upon. The idea there is something, as Jonas said, though it seems a little bit of an oxymoron, a little bit alarming. Seems like alarm is alarming, right? But he's saying, you know, if you looked at it from a certain angle, it could be a big problem, but maybe that angle is not right, is I think what he's saying. That's not the question. We're not here to decide for sure how good Jimmy G is. And this is where I think people and books and movies and music videos, this is what they get wrong. There's a beginning, middle, and end to that. At the end, Michael Corleone goes over to the bad side and Kay is the door shut on her. That's the end of Godfather 1. There is an end. But in real life, Michael, if there were a Michael Corleone, continued on with his cohorts like Jonas and Colin. This is instead the organized crime and they're doing their bootlegging or whatever the heck they're doing. But for us, the movie ends. There is no right answer to how good Jimmy G is. There's a right answer that we think there's a preponderance of evidence on, but it's not like you go to the back of the geometry book and see what a complementary triangle is. Oh, yeah, I was right. No one knows. And you know something? We don't even know for sure how good Tom Brady is on any given day. We can look back and say how good he was, but even that, you could say, well, we're not compensating for his receiving corps, or we're not kind of giving him credit for the fact that the line was so bad. There's no objective, pristine way to assess these things. But luckily, straight out of Vegas, we're talking percentage chances. If you tell me that Jimmy G's chance of having an outstanding year, in your mind, you project it to decrease a little bit because of this new data, I would say I tend to agree. But at no point are we coming to a conclusion. Rather, we're trying to predict the future. That is the emphasis of this show. And quite frankly, I've never thought of it this way, but that's the biggest distinction between this show and every other show. Every other show is looking backwards and trying to explain what happened. And I think that's very virtuous. I listen. I'm trying to take that prior information, formulate it, and present it as what the future holds. Literally telling the future. Now, luckily, 50% happens in our binomial type heads or tails games by just flipping a coin, even a drunk baby, as some may say, flipping a coin. We only need to win one out of 20 games extra to hit 55%, and we have a mansion and a yacht, or at least Faz does, and the drunk baby flipping coins, he's losing a lot. He doesn't know it, but that VIG is eating him away, right or wrong?
Exactly right.
So, yes, we predict the future, but just a little bit better than the average person. And little bit means it's an accumulation of a lot of really little edges. So let's see what the betting market says first. So let's look at season wins. Before last night's catastrophe, the season win total for the 49ers, and this is 16 games, over, under, how many wins?
8 wins.
Okay. So now disaster strikes, and how many wins now?
8 wins.
Okay, hold on. It hasn't changed.
Not at all.
All right. Same thing, and we won't belabor the skit. No move in week one. Week one, line's exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Still catching plus one at Tampa Bay.
All right, so 49ers plus one. So right now, Jonas, the betting market is saying, woo-wee, relax, everything's fine. Now, is that because the betting market is so wise and shrewd? I think it is come game day in big markets. Like NFL sides, you can win millions of dollars, literally. Fez, we've talked about this. If you wanted to really get down 300K and someone gave you a mandate, here's the bricks, get down 300, you might have to take a slightly half point off here or there, but you could get 300 down no problem.
No problem at all.
Because a given book's going to take 50 large, no problem, on an NFL side.
Yeah, and one book might take the 300K.
Exactly. Now, if you have... Now, you might think college basketball totals. I heard those were beatable, and maybe they are. Literally, it's hard to get down at one book $500.
That's the limit of most books.
That's the limit.
Wow.
And some books are like 150. I mean, it's like they want only recreational action. That's a business decision. But think about how confident are the bookies that the marketplace is shaping up the line in the NFL enough that come game day, they're willing to take $50,000 from an unknown guy or even a face like Fezzik. It's a situation where they're sure. When they take $500 or less, they're not sure. So as much as we exalt the marketplace, I'm not sure the liquidity, the efficiency of the over-under win total market reacting to one game is great. But I think that if it was big enough, there'd be a reaction.
Agreed.
So there's been no reaction by Vegas. Doesn't mean this means nothing. It means it doesn't mean enough to really startle someone to go do something with it. But my feeling is you might see a residual effect because this does follow on the heels of that practice.
Yeah.
Now, Fez, you did some math because literally we know what the interception rate is for a typical NFL quarterback. Now, Jimmy G, you've got not only a personal relationship with, but you have him rated above average.
I do.
Okay. It's almost like you don't want, like he's like a defendant in the box.
It's not like he's on the stand right now.
Do you have Jimmy G? Well, in fact, let's put his exhibit number one. A little bit of tape on Fezzik.
I love Jimmy G.
Okay. So is there a more personal relationship than love?
No.
I don't think, not where I come from.
Yep.
What was the odds of an NFL caliber quarterback, even average? I know he's not average in your mind. Even an average quarterback, what's the odds of throwing 5 straight interceptions?
25 million to 1.
Okay. Now, let me again do the math on that. Not likely. And what's funny is I speculated at the time that after he threw the second, then the third, that regardless of what you do, if you're into game theory or at least, you know, controlling the narrative, just throw the next one into the ground. And then if you throw 3 more, they can say 6 out of 7, but it doesn't sound as good. I mean, it's like, the fifth time, what went into his mind to throw that interception? So you got to wonder, doesn't the same thing cause you to wonder about him having a 0.0? And somehow they didn't leave him in there for one more possession to throw a screen pass and stop this segment? Fez.
And I can make the case that that 0.0 is overrating him because he threw 6 passes. And anyone who watched that game, RJ, the first 4 Jimmy G passes were all touched. Well, you say, well, they should have been caught, right, Fez? Well, the problem is they were all touched by Denver Bronco defenders. He could have thrown 3 or 4 interceptions.
Well, listen, luckily we have a theme song for Fez and Jimmy G right now. Let's listen. Now, you've got a history with one Freddie Van Fleet.
Van Fleet.
Van Fleet, exactly. And I guess the Cliff Note version is you felt a real affinity to him, underrated. You didn't think people understood him. And let's be honest, everyone wants to be appreciated. So, you know, there was a reciprocation of appreciation, might be the way to say it. And then Freddie hit a cold stretch. You didn't stop to ask, was his wife potentially having a difficult labor? You said, this is business. I mean, love. I mean, business. And you said, gone. You cut him out of your life.
It's over.
I mean, it was on national radio,
yep,
Brad.
It was.
You were here. He said.
A declaration of separation.
Yeah. I mean, it was legal. Yes. I don't even know what it was. Now, what happened after that?
He had his greatest 5 games in his NBA career, literally starting the first game after.
If it's not for Kawhi Leonard, he's the finals MVP.
And he did receive a first place vote
from
finals MVP.
From Hubie Brown.
Must have been one of your haters just trolling you. So we're talking to Steve Fezzik off the Freddie Van Vliet relationship and now on to Jimmy G. And what we're seeing, like someone that somehow was on the Titanic, then the Hindenburg. It seems like there's a connection here. Again, I'm trying to connect the future. And I guess the question is, How concerned are you?
I'm not going to say that I'm not concerned.
So double negative.
I am evaluating, and I am going to watch Mr. Jimmy G very carefully here the rest of August and early into September.
0.0.
Yes. Now. I knew that would come in handy. I got so excited I hit a little Hendrix there. So, but what I can tell you for sure is, well, I think there's one last thing to say on this. We don't really know much about Jimmy G. I'm not talking about his background, or I just heard recently, which blew my mind, that he was like 6'2 when he was in eighth grade and that he was playing tight end. Like, apparently he didn't play quarterback till a lot later. Like, he was playing football, Jimmy G, and not quarterback, which usually in any town, the best guy, the best athlete plays quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then when they go to college, sometimes they, you know, transition to another position. But the idea that Jimmy G was kind of late to the game because he was 6'2", and thus they said, we can't, we got to use his size for something at eighth grade or whatever. I guess in a way, it really kind of reinforces the story that this guy's been privileged, or, you know, fortunate might be the right word, genetically in every way from day one, right? I mean, is there anything in his bio, Jimmy G, that would make you think, oh, he overcame that?
Other than going to a small school.
Oh, so getting free college, but it wasn't quite yeah. the school you wanted. That was his big hardship.
Yeah.
Okay. So no. Right? So it strikes me that any time an NFL quarterback becomes successful, that there's a certain point in the story, if we think of it again like a story, that you could say, wow, things aren't looking good for our hero now. It's that time of conflict, as they talk about in narrative structure. So my question is, what history do we have with Jimmy G in which he's overcome a conflict? And maybe there's private medical issue that we didn't know about that was life. I'm not saying the answer is no, but I'm saying most people, you would look at their public life and you could point to this, that, and the other. Even Tom Brady with the 199th pick. And also, if you think about it, the Pats started when Brady, started that third game of the season. If I recall, they lost that. I mean, it was like it didn't necessarily look like the Brady was going to be very good very early. And I'm going by memory here. And I guess after you win a Super Bowl the first year you start, it's kind of hard to say, well, next year they went 9-7 or whatever. That was tough. But in a way, it was. If you win the Super Bowl, you're the second coming now. You're the next generation. And you don't make the playoffs the next year. That next offseason, you have one more bad year. You're probably not starting. Those people won the Super Bowl. So what even compares to this with Jimmy G in his public life? And thus, I think being unsure of the way he's going to start respond to this, I think is a real is really legitimate. When we come back, we'll finish the Jimmy G story with something Colin Cowherd said I disagree with 100%.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue the discussion regarding a heartbroken member of the show and a quarterback performance.
Does love and money mix? It's the eternal question. Thanks for joining us. Weekday, 6 o'clock Eastern. We are Straight Out of Vegas. And directly to you, 200 Fox Sports Radio stations, iHeartRadio app, FoxSportsRadio.com, podcast. And Jonas, if you're on the corner and you see him at 7-Eleven, he'll talk sports with you also.
Absolutely.
And the weather report right now on the Strip, it's 102 degrees and the neon is bubbling.
So we talked about Jimmy Garoppolo's bad performance last night on Monday Night Football, a 0.0 quarterback rating.
0.0. zero.
So with that being said, the conversation now turns to the justification of a performance like that. And RJ, you've heard something you disagreed with.
Yeah, Colin, you know, Colin is like, it's funny because these two facts, or even if you say advice to your kid, I'm almost thinking like if you're trying to tell your son, he's going off to college and it's time not for the talk, but you know, for the you're a man now kind of thing, right? And if you said you should only be adamant, when you're sure, right? Don't make life-changing decisions on a whim. That generally makes sense, right? So in a way, it's saying be protective. Don't get out there with new stuff. It's saying be sure. On the other hand, it'd be like learn like you're going to live forever, every day of your life. You know, some little platitude like that. And Colin shows you how, I think, in my opinion, in some ways, that he certainly executes on, he lives the learning. I mean, just being lucky enough to be friends with him and talking to him off air is he's always got some, you know, he's reading new books. He's, and even more so with his amazing position as one of the leading sportscasters in the country, he gets to meet, you know, some amazing people. Oh, look, we had, you know, the guy that wrote The Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell, on today. Like, how many, you know, curious people would love to have a chat with Malcolm Gladwell, right? Well, Colin gets to live that. He's earned it. It's a great thing. I think it feeds his curiosity. But also, disciplines, academics that are hard, they typically take 6-8 years, you know, to become a doctor. You don't do it because you're curious, right? So the idea of people, you know, hey, you know, I got into medicine. I saw this special on A&E. Now, a couple YouTube videos. Is there any chance I can work on your kidneys? You know, it's going to be like, no. So to me, I'm not trying to say statistics and advanced metrics are necessarily brain surgery or rocket science, but, and I'm not saying I am a brain surgeon level analytics guy. I'm certainly far better than the average person, but there's a lot of PhDs out there making a lot less money than me in math that know a lot more math. So, I mean, I respect the math, but there's very few people that use analytics that can originate it where they're creating their own algorithm. You know, so I'm not going to sit and say, well, unless you're a PhD, don't talk about it, because I'm not a PhD. I just think that in a weird way, the more you embrace, the better chance it is that you're going to have knowledge that is not deep enough to be certain you're right. And thus you run into times where you're wrong. Now, the question becomes, would you rather that talk radio guy who talks about the same things with the same stories 10 years later? Oh, no, he's going to go into that story again. Right. I don't want that. I want the guy who's constantly grasping towards the future, understanding it's like a beta test. Every time you try something new, startups think like this. There's a saying in Silicon Valley, break things, make things and break things. And the theory is you're going to make something and that car is going to crash. That car that's supposed to be driven by the computer, there's going to be some crashes. And that's the only way to get to the point that they work, right? And eventually in 50 years, the kids are going to be laughing at today's kids saying, I can't believe you used to drive your car, guaranteed. So we want to give Colin and all sportscasters who are trying to strive, myself included, a break if it's not our area of greatest expertise, because we'd rather you be exploring. But I thought he said something today about sample size that I needed to try to explain a little bit. Because it's one thing not to want to do the math, but if you are a sports fan, you can't really be a sports fan without understanding the basics of analytics. You can think they're garbage, but you got to understand them because most people consider them important. So if you're going to talk to guys about sports or gals, you better know. So anyone listening, if you're analytically driven or not, you should know about the basics of analytics. And one of the things that they talk about, and this is a very simple 90-second deal, is sample size. So to give a quick example, if Fez and I flip a coin, and I'm betting on heads and you're betting on tails, Fez, and it comes up heads. Right now, if we stop, it's 100% heads. If Fez said, I go, Fez, I know it's heads, but I'm going to give you 10-1 on the next 50-50 flip. And Fez said, no way, man. Heads is where it seems to be. Well, sample size, right? Is how many reps, how many examples does it take before the results are meaningful? Tim Tebow, right? If you just look at winning, in fact, if you look at his whole, there is no, the sample size ran out because he never ended up losing, I mean, losing in any major way. They just eventually figured, even though he's winning somehow, we don't understand it, so we're going to bench him. Again, that's pretty interesting. You think you'd let, for all the bad quarterbacks out there, you think you let the guy have a one losing season after making the playoffs. But that was sample size. They're saying what you see, those stats, those wins, they're deceiving. The truth hasn't shown itself yet. And if the coin was fair and we flipped it 1,000 times, it'd be pretty close to 50-50, right? So what Colin, so in general, sample size means the more reps you have, the more you can trust the data. Now, the PhDs have something called confidence level, where you can look at what the odds of something happening is, what the odds of what happened is, you know. So, and for example, Jimmy G, the math was simple, or not simple, Fez, but pretty basic. He threw 5 straight interceptions, and you said, what's the odds of him throwing an interception on any given play? You took the NFL average, and you said, to the power of 5, that is, what's the odds of something that happens 1 in every 30 times, was it, or so?
Yes.
Happening 5 straight times. So think about it. Imagine you had a 30-sided die, and you rolled it, and it came up 30. You're like, okay. And then the next 4 times, it came up 30. It would never, let's just say this. Try it, and let me know when you get the, the 5 straight 30s. It will take, on average, 25,000 or million.
Million.
Rolls of the dice. All right, so you can't just, people are going to say, well, small sample size. But actually, considering the unlikelihood of those events, the interceptions, it really isn't. It's a 25 million to one shot, right?
Disturbing.
It is disturbing. It's mildly alarming at minimum. So to me, here's what Colin said. He said, I don't need more small sample size with Jimmy G. I've got the small sample size of when he started with New England for those one or two games. He played 1.5. I got the small sample when he came in, quite frankly, in a season mop-up role when the 49ers had lost their playoff chances. Yeah, better than nothing. But, and now I don't want 11 throws in a preseason game. It's actually the opposite, meaning the only time you need small samples, additional samples, is when the prior information isn't enough. So think of it like dating. You go on one date. The gal is the best gal you've ever met. You're more excited than you've ever been. Now, anyone with any half a brain is going to say, well, let's wait and see. But man, I'm kind of embarrassed. You know, I've said that before. Like, I know I'm too excited for this, you know, back in my single days, but man, she was great. You know? I didn't marry that one. I didn't marry that one. I eventually did. So we understand one isn't enough. But let's say you've been with your wife, like I've been with mine 13 years. Every day isn't a picnic. But when there's a bad day, just like certainly I give bad days, right? I think, okay, I've got 13. I don't think this explicitly, but I do implicitly, or I guess subconsciously, you're thinking, hey, I know her, right? And she's a good person. She's a fun person, blah, 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 all the things I like. And that's this one exception. This small sample size doesn't matter because I know the truth. So once you know the truth, Tom Brady's a good quarterback. Now, what makes it more difficult is, oh, look, that good quarterback's off a knee injury. So now is he the same? Or the league has changed. You used to be okay not throwing that deep out, but now you. So what makes sports so fascinating is even when you got a big sample size, you've got to ask yourself how much of it is applicable to today, because the game has changed and the person has changed. But at minimum, the time you crave it the most, sample size, any new information, is when you don't have enough old information or prior information to make your assessment. Jimmy G, we've made somewhat of an assessment. The 49ers did, to give him a big franchise-level contract. But, man, if there's anything that we crave, anyone, any quarterback, we crave sample size on, even if it's preseason. Because by putting him out there, you're saying these snaps are important enough to risk him getting hurt. So, yep. So it's full go. There's no red jersey or whatever. So, to me, you can't act like it's the regular season, but you can't act like it's nothing. And on the heels of a $25 million one shot with five straight interceptions in practice, combined with a 0.0, anyone that thinks the odds of Jimmy G being that elite quarterback doesn't go down a little bit, you're not taking the new information in. When we come back, speaking of Colin, we're going to talk Baker Mayfield.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, so rapping Jimmy G, short sample, true, but even Fezzik, a man who is ruthless, cutthroat when it comes to money or love.
I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
He says, don't be alarmed, only mild alarm, but there is a little bit of alarm. Now, though, Jonas, I mean, if we're talking Colin, we got to talk Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield back in the news. In an interview he did with GQ, he was quoted as saying, I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones with the number 6 pick. Quote, unquote, it blows my mind. Now, many people attributed quotes after that and him saying, talking about people overthinking the quarterback evaluation and also saying they forget that you've got to win. They attributed that to the same comments as him being critical of Daniel Jones. Baker has since denied that and spoken highly of Daniel Jones. So, of course, the media got a hold of this one as well.
Well, to me, him talking positively after unequivocally being negative is weak. In a weird way, I wish he said, listen, I have a right to have an opinion like anyone else, and I wouldn't have drafted him. Like, maybe that's bold, but at least it's true. How can you say that you're flabbergasted they drafted him, then say, but I think he's great? I think this team that drafted this great player made an insane decision. I mean, it makes no sense. But somehow we just nod, and you know, everyone hopes that he hopes the story goes away. Maybe we should talk about it every day until he admits he doesn't think he's any good. I guess we'd see what kind of power we have. So let me ask you this, Jonas, because in a way, again, as the fan, you're the perfect person. Do you believe there's certain people that are winners?
Yeah, no doubt, yeah.
And what are the qualities that lead them to be winners, do you think?
Hard work, focus, dedication. Those would be some of the qualities that I would look at.
Okay, so you're saying that one of the ways they winning shows itself is as the culmination of all that work.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say there's been players that, if anything, all that hard work would show itself in the performance of the player. So then in theory, performance leads to winning, but sometimes it doesn't. Charles Barkley, for example, performed amazingly well in his career. He never won the title. Now, you could say sample size, right? See where it comes in? Or you could say there was something about Chuck, as we call him here in Vegas, that he didn't have the eye of the tiger or whatever platitude we want to say at the end. And when the chips are down, he wasn't ready to die for whatever. So I think you're right. The motivation stuff leads to performance. But do you think there's another level after that?
Well, I kind of disagree in the evaluation of Chuck not being a winner that some people would call him, because we're basically judging guys on a team sport and we're attributing championships to that guy winning the championship when you need other pieces around you. You can't do it alone.
I would say with Chuck, though, if there's one player that you could actually say he held his own cards in a way or dealt his own hand, I mean, he forced himself out of Philly. He went to Phoenix by choice. Then he went to Houston. So in a way, he was chasing that ring. So maybe he wasn't a good talent evaluating the talent, perhaps.
Right, right.
But he had more control of his career than most, I would think.
Yeah, no, he called a shot a couple of times for sure.
Yeah, so, and you're right, though, when you go to a team sport, but I just think Jordan would have murdered someone. If someone was standing in the way of Jordan winning like imagine Jordan like 34 with no titles. I mean, if there was a guy in his way, I think he'd disappear. I really do. I mean, you think I'm joking. You think he would have just sat around and let some guy keep him from winning? I mean, maybe just hurt his knee, like, you know, Tonya Harding style. But, I mean, he would not have allowed. That's a personal opinion, not Fox Sports Radio. But he would not have allowed Michael Jordan himself not to win a title. So, to me, this goes to the old debate. First off, it only makes sense that Baker wants to talk about winning. What's his calling card in college? He won. right? So that's like asking a guy with one finger missing that plays piano for a living, do you think that nine-finger players can do well? No, actually. I mean, you're always going to back the category that you're in because you're betting on it. If Baker didn't think winning really mattered, he would be dismissing his own past. It only makes, like, I went to Ohio State and, just speaking honestly, got amazingly good grades. I think college is important. If I would have dropped out of college, I'd be talking about how, you know, it's oversold. Some people, it's good. But, you know, look at my entrepreneurial success. It only makes sense that Jonas likes people with beards, right, Jonas?
Yeah, of course. That's my preferred avenue I like to shop on. Yeah, for sure.
So to me, with Baker Mayfield, to look at him and judge and say, oh, he's not nuanced enough, saying winnings is what matters the most, you got an excuse. First, he's a kid. He's not a GM. He's an NFL quarterback, but he's not a GM. He's not assessing what quarterbacks to draft. He might have an opinion. No one's paying him to do it. Right. And then the idea that he's one of that cohort, to keep our theme vocabulary word going, of quarterbacks that won in college, it'd be crazy for him to not think it's important. So in a weird way, I agree with Colin that Mayfield did simplify things too much. But all I could say is, what can you expect from a kid whose job isn't picking NFL quarterbacks, who happened to be a quarterback that won in college? Right.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense. When we come back, we are going to talk NFL preseason and how there's a trend that we started. I mean, let's just be honest. Straight out of Vegas it came, and it's undefeated this year in the NFL preseason.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So Antonio Brown was back at Raiders practice earlier today with a helmet that is allowed to be used. The NFL has given him permission to use. And it is past all the protocol. Hard Knocks coming up later on tonight. The circus continues, RJ, for Antonio Brown and the Raiders.
Always follow the circus. If you're from a small town, you know that much. Brad, we were talking about this in pre-show. You had an interesting take.
Yeah, I just don't think Antonio Brown is really interested in playing football anymore, RJ.
And that's the question. We always say, what's that last $10 million? You shouldn't worry about that home team discount. Okay, maybe. But then you think about it. What kind of pain, even in the moment, are these players going through? And then what kind of risk are they taking? I mean, we know that we don't really know about all the I mean, if you just look at wrestling, obviously a lot of PEDs, a lot of recreational drugs with professional wrestling. But if you look at the lifespans, and it takes so long for these types of studies, NFL players seem to, who are healthier, who in general, when they were 15 years old, you would have looked at and said, now that's a specimen. That's someone that should live a long time. They don't. So in a weird way, I think we're going to see more of what we've seen a little bit of, that 49ers linebacker, I don't remember the name, but like people. Now, it's one thing to give up or retire before you even have made your lifetime money. But once you have generational wealth, if you love the sport, wonderful. But a lot of people don't love the sport. Seems like Brown is more interested in attention without actually playing the game.
So, RJ, we have a best bet coming up later on tonight in Major League Baseball, and it belongs to Steve Fezzik.
This is tonight. This is the kind of bet the Fezzik bets himself. You bet it yourself?
Yeah, I like it. New York, Oakland, I bet over 9.5. I like it, RJ. I'm going to make the case we have two bad pitchers going tonight. We all know Homer Bailey is bad for Oakland. Don't have to spend much time with him. But the Yankee pitcher, he's 16-2. And I know you're going to ask me, how can a 16-2 pitcher be bad? Well, German, on the road, has an earned run average of 5.6 for the Yankees. He's 8-1 on the road because the Yankees have scored so much for him, and he was bad last year on the road as well. With two bad pitchers, I'm going to go over the 9.5.
So this is Fezzik. To some degree, you think he'd be a little shy to call a guy who is 16-2 bad. And I got to be honest, if you think about, well, wait a minute, Yankees score a lot of runs. We're just talking wins and losses here. And oh, by the way, that ERA, 4 point whatever, that isn't particularly good. But me, maybe I'm just more conservative. Maybe I hate being wrong. I would have said not as good as you might think. But Fezzik, he doesn't care. He said bad.
The Odd Couple is coming up next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!